It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes, it is 1900 UTC out here. 39 degrees, high of 40, nice and toasty. We're walking down the ramp to the fourth floor from the roof to get in some shade. The goal here, what I'm hoping is that down here on the fourth floor, I'll be able to see my phone, because yesterday it was very difficult for me to make out the news and I couldn't really read comm very well. So, speaking of comm, if you want to hang out and talk during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org or tty.sdf.org, and then from there, boom, just launch comm, type COM, press enter, type G for go to, and then anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. You'll be hanging out with cool people like the Z-Man, Zorhoff, and Jay LaMoth and Quentin. X1's in the house as well. Seeing Jay LaMoth reminds me to let you know that there's also Jabber. If you want to, all you gotta do is connect to Jabber and then go to Anon Radio at conference.jabber. Sorry, heavy truck driving by. Conference. Anon Radio at conference.jabber.sdf.org. Boom. You will be hanging out with people who use a cool, reasonable, open source chat protocol. Oh, man. So, shout outs. Tobe's in the house. What's 7 cents times 1,000? 7,000 cents would be, what, $70? No, 7,000. Did you say 7,000 or 70,000? Oh, 1,000, yeah, $70. Yeah, so what's funny is here at work, we have an ERP system, and there are certain countries in the world, like Japan and Hungary and a few others, that don't use cents. And so because of that, the ERP system doesn't want to be customized that way. So what they do is they have a scale factor. And so like in the back-end database, the money will be stored as like 5 or 6. But really, that's 500 or 600 or whatever. It's going to be multiplied by a factor since the front end shows a floating point number. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool. Tobe found 1,000 poker dice for sale. Ah, very exciting. 1,000 poker dice. Yeah, that'd be, what, $70? They're 7 cents each. Plus shipping. All right, well, talk to Tobe in comm if you're interested in going in on a group order, bulk order, for some poker dice. Oh, man, it's warm. I'd never had this before. This is the Marcus tells you about his day section. I'd never had this before, but at lunchtime today at work, we had, it's 2:04. Darn it. At 1900, they turn off the menu. Anyway, we had a Thai, what they call a Thai style omelet. So it was like eggs and pork and peppers and onions. It was just very good. All right, let's continue on and get into some news, because that's what we're here for. It's Friday, so that means that I'm a little loose, but that also means that it's Something Blue Day. So leave your Anon radio turned on after the Dubious Goals Committee and just wander around, enjoy the vibe, because first you've got Harry Larry, and then there's a whole slew of shows that happen. You can press equal and comm, or type out Anon radio at the command prompt to see the schedule. But the important parts is that DJ Vol's weekend is at 2100 hours. DJ 10 from Berlin is at 22. Raleigh's got something at 0 hours. ZDR Monster, the DJ ZDR Monster, Zed Delta Romeo Monster Show, that's at 0100. And the Synth Battle Royale is at 0300. So, very cool. So, check it all out if you'd like. Alright, let's go ahead and get our Firefox fired up. We'll go over here to our bookmarks. Let's see if we've got... Nope. Shucks. I always forget. You gotta go over here to settings. Sync now. Oh, I guess that's why this interface has crashed. Alright, force quit Firefox. Relaunch it. While I'm doing that, I'll plug one of my friends. I was telling one of my friends about an on radio and how excited I was that we upped our max listener count to 500 from 100. And he told me about a site called kpiss.fm. That's Kilo Papa India Sierra Sierra dot Foxtrot Mike. kpiss.fm. Apparently it's an online radio station, but one of his friends plays or has a show there. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So yeah, lots of online radios out there. Alright, so now that we killed Firefox, let's see if we can sync it now. Settings, sync now. There we go, now we can sync it. It seems like the sync service, any long-running service on iOS kind of fails after a while. Alrighty. Boom, 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 bing, 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 bing. Bookmarks. Desktop, bookmark menu, news to me. There we go, August 18th, that's today. It's 1907 UTC. Let's get into some news, talk about the death and destruction going on in the world. So in Niger, over there in Africa, at least 28 civilians have been killed in violence, according to local sources. At least 28 civilians were killed earlier this week in violence in several villages in southwestern Niger, close to Mali, a local official source said on Friday, a toll that could be higher once they get more people on the ground to do the body count. For the moment, at least 28 people have been killed. Some bodies were washed down the river. Four departments were affected by the violence, which began at dusk on August 15th and ended in the middle of the day on August 16th. In Aoruru, one of the departments affected, four people were killed and 26 wounded by knives and firearms. Military authorities who overthrew President Mohamed Bazoum on July 26th have not confirmed the violence. According to a security source, around 100 civilians have been killed in the violence, so-called tri-border region between Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, which is regularly the scene of deadly jihadist attacks, notably the Islamic State and the Great Sahara, or EIGS, Echo India Golf Sierra. According to a member of Tilbury's civil society, the violence is due to a cycle of reprisals between herders and the farmers. The amount of noisy traffic passing through our neighborhood here is unfortunately just keeps increasing. I don't know if we're going to be keeping... I don't know. I feel like I'm getting more annoyed by the car noise than it disrupts the show. So I don't know. I need to work on that. What do you think, Incom? Is the car noise too much? Quentin heard the motor. Okay. Yeah, there was just different people driving by in work trucks. Different beat-up work trucks full of, like, paint and equipment and all sorts of other stuff. And they're, you know, contractors generally being paid by the job. They're hauling ass everywhere trying to get stuff done. It's just a little frustrating. So noisy. All right. Keep on a rolling because there's other death and destruction to talk about. A man is accused of 11 murders and is arrested in front of co-workers in New Hampshire. A construction worker was apprehended by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE,
which is a terrible organization and should be disbanded at all costs. Earlier this week, on the 14th of August, former Brazilian military police officer Antonio José de Abreu Vidal Filho, age 29, was arrested at the construction site in Rai by enforcement and removal operations. He was named by Interpol in a red notice after a criminal court in Brazil convicted him of 11 murders, and he was sentenced to 275 years and 11 months in prison in June for his part in a 2015 Brazilian massacre. The incident has since been dubbed the Curio Massacre. He and three other Brazilian military police officers were convicted of 11 murder charges plus charges of attempted murder and physical and mental torture. Co-workers described the dramatic arrest, saying the federal officers arrived on the scene with helmets, rifles, and flash grenades. "We're just like, okay, 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 we had nothing to do with it," Sammy Johnson told the outlet. "It's a pretty epic way to start your Monday morning, you know?" So anyway, that's ICE came through and arrested a guy that they knew where he was. So that's going on there. But the murder, the fact that the military, these military police are being held accountable for a criminal event, it's kind of funny because ICE is committing all sorts of heinous war crimes and crimes against humanity. Pretty gruesome stuff. And it's like, whatever. We're America. We do what we want. If you're from Brazil, sorry. We're going to go capture you and put you in a prison to rot for a while. Speaking of ignoring things, hospital bosses apparently ignored months of warnings about Lucy Letby. That name may not sound familiar yet, but it will soon. Hospital bosses failed to investigate allegations against Lucy Letby and tried to silence doctors, the lead consultant at the neonatal unit where she worked, told the BBC. The hospital also delayed calling the police, despite months of warnings that the nurse may have been killing babies. That's right, baby killer Lucy Letby. The unit's lead consultant, Dr. Stephen Beery, first raised concerns about Letby in October 2015. No action was taken, and she went on to attack five more babies, killing two. Letby's been found guilty of murdering seven babies and attempting to murder six others in a neonatal unit at the Countess of Chester Hospital in Cheshire. The first five murders all happened between June and October of 2015, and despite months of warning, the final two were in June 2016. BBC Panorama and BBC News have been investigating how Letby was able to murder and harm so many babies for so long. We spoke to the lead consultant in the unit who first raised concerns and also examined hospital documents. An investigation reveals a catalog of failures and raises serious questions about how the hospital responded to the deaths. The hospital's top... This is a list of what they found. The hospital's top manager demanded the doctors write an apology to Letby and told them to stop making allegations against her. Two consultants were ordered to attend mediation with Letby even though they suspected she was killing babies. When she finally was moved, Letby was assigned to the Risk and Patient Safety Office, where she had access to sensitive documents from the neonatal unit. It was in close proximity to senior managers whose job it was to investigate her. Deaths were not reported appropriately, which meant the high fatality rate couldn't be picked up by the wider NHS system. And as well as the seven murder convictions, Letby was on duty for another six deaths at the hospital. Two babies also died while Letby was working at the Liverpool Women's Hospital. So, pretty wild stuff. Lucy Letby, renowned or well-known, very famous child murderer from the UK there. Let's see what's going on here. New hamster. Let's see. That's a kid driving that truck. He shouted something like "What the fuck?" and then squealed out from, burned out from the corner, and hauled ass as fast as he could around the corner to get on the main road here. Let's see. Oh, Jay LaMoth was just reading about this baby killer this morning. fast boy with some pipes. Yeah, exactly. Golly gee. It is 1915 UTC, which means that I need to remind you
that the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is happening in just 15 minutes. That's right. Not only can you buy $70 worth of dice at 10 cents each is 700 dice. Quite an investment, but what a reward. What a reward you'll have. Definitely encourage anyone with $70 to buy this dice. Contact Tobe for more information or listen to the Dubious Goals Committee show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC right here on the symphonic and synthesizer friendly Anon Radio. Let's see what we got here. What happened to investigating every death at a hospital? You know, Quentin, that's a good question. I think it probably costs a lot. It's quite expensive insurance-wise. Huh. Interesting. If I talk into the parking garage, I get a nice delayed echo. Probably about a minute or not a minute, but like a second. Or at least most of a second delay. Dice from the finest plastic. plastic resin harvested from the pristine ancient glaciers of Saudi Arabia, and then brought, pumped up and brought to the finest refineries in all of the United States, where they could then have plastic pellets shipped back to the best and most pure, clean factories in China. There we go. I don't know. The dice probably travel the world more than we do in their life cycle. All right, so let's keep on going. There's still more death and destruction, believe it or not. The baby killer was probably the big, oh my gosh, news story. A lot of people are going to jail. That's something to know about. A Canadian woman has been jailed for 22 years in the U.S. for sending letters laced with ricin to Donald Trump when he was president. Pascali Ferrier, 56, agreed to the sentence in January after pleading guilty to biological weapons charges. The deadly envelope addressed to Mr. Trump was intercepted in September 2020 before being delivered to the White House. Ferrier told the court that she regretted her plan had failed and that she couldn't stop Trump. In a long-winded address to the court, she also said that she saw herself as an activist, not a terrorist. Let's see. Yeah, and then they just go on to read her letter, which was a bit unhinged. I can appreciate anyone who wanted to stop that guy. He caused a lot of harm in the world. All right. Who else went to prison? A lot of people. The Justice Department in the U.S. is seeking 33 years for the Proud Boys leader, Enrique Tarrio. The Justice Department is seeking 33 years in prison for Enrique Tarrio, the former Proud Boy leader, convicted of seditious conspiracy in one of the most serious cases to emerge from the attack on the Capitol from January 6th. The sentence, if imposed, would be by far the longest punishment that's handed down in the massive prosecution of the riot on January 6th. Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes, who was convicted of seditious conspiracy in a different case, for January 6th, has received the longest sentence to date of 18 years. Tarrio once served as a national chairman of the far-right extremist group, and three lieutenants were convicted by a Washington jury in May of conspiring to block the transfer of power. So we'll see what happens. Trump really liked this, the Proud Boys, and so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Trump is currently facing some conspiracy. He's facing a lot of charges. He's got like 91 felony charges in the courts right now that he's on trial for across the country. So whether or not he's able to help, I don't know. All right, here comes another 18-wheeler. This time he's hitting trees because... Oh, and... oh, man, fuck these guys. They're going to destroy this neighborhood. The 18-wheelers driving through, it's a nice, like, one half of the road is shaded by trees, or at least it used to be, but this 18-wheeler drove through and just kind of, like, pulled a bunch of branches off of these trees as he drove by. surprisingly, the trailer wasn't damaged, so good for him, I guess. Boom, boom, boom. X1's drinking water with diluted elastic plastic carbonation. Yeah. Quentin, I'm sorry. The Proud Boys are not for gay men. That is that's not what the Proud Boys are about. There are men's choirs and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not sure what I don't know about any national organization. The Log Cabin Republicans are a big gay men's organization that are pro-Republican. All right, what else is going on? A mom is mad because the police detained her 10-year-old son for peeing outside. If you're not from the country, or if you haven't lived in like the countryside or small towns, you may think that peeing outside is like weird, but pretty much anybody who grew up in a small town has been told by their family at some point when they had to pee to just go pee outside next to a tree or something. Well, unfortunately, an irate mother in Mississippi, Mississippi, home of pro-rape, anti-children justice. An irate mother in Mississippi slammed local police when they detained her 10-year-old son and hauled him off to jail for urinating behind her car. Latonya Eason was on at an attorney's office in Senatobia for legal advice on August 10th when an officer saw her son peeing outside. I was like, son, why did you do that? And he said, Mom, my sister said they don't have a bathroom there. I was like, you knew better. You should have come and asked me if they had a restroom. The child was initially going to be let off with a warning, the officer telling Miss Eaton. Since you handled it like a mom, then he could just get back in the car. But several more officers suddenly arrived on the scene, and the boy was detained. Another officer came over there, and he was like, your son's got to get out of the car. He's got to be arrested because he can't do that. A photo Ms. Eason posted on her Facebook shows a solemn son sitting in the back of a cop car. He recalled the frightening ordeal for a news outlet. So yeah, the police didn't apologize. The police haven't really apologized. They're saying the officer's decision was a mistake. But I mean, at least they didn't rape the kid. That's the only thing, I guess, is it's like usually when we have kid stories, they're being assaulted by like priests or someone they trust. Usually some Christian organization is raping kids, but unfortunately, I guess for him, he was just being arrested by the police. At least they didn't kill him. So I guess that's good. Good news. Child interacted with police, not murdered or raped. I guess that's the walk away from that. Oh, gosh. More stuff to lose faith in humanity about. Let's see. I'm trying to see if I can find a good starting point that doesn't take too long. Election officials across the country have experienced an uptick in threats since 2020. According to a 2023 poll from the Brennan Center for Justice, 30% of local election workers say they've been abused, harassed, or threatened. Mr. Norden, an election worker, has heard stories of a woman in Arizona whose dog was poisoned after the election and others who were forced to abandon their homes. Many are leaving the profession because of it, he said. It's been really traumatic from the field and that it's impacting, unfortunately, those who are willing to serve. The increase in threats has so far shown little sign of abating. Just this week, the names and addresses of grand jurors who voted in the Georgia indictment against Mr. Trump were posted on a fringe website known for violent rhetoric, according to a report from nonprofit research group Advanced Democracy. Last week, a 43-year-old woman from Texas was charged with threatening to kill Judge Tanya Chutkan, who was overseeing a federal case against Mr. Trump. The woman allegedly called the court in Washington, D.C. and said, if Trump doesn't get you elected in 2024, we're coming to kill you. It's another example of how the conspiracy theories about what happened in the last presidential election still hold a powerful grip over many in the country. And the story details many election workers who've been harassed and threatened for just doing their job or just like volunteering to like help people vote. I don't know. It's one thing to be like, hey, let's all vote. It's another thing to say, I'm going to kill you if you don't vote my way. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a little frustrating. huh, I'm hearing a high-pitched noise. I'm gonna walk towards it. See if I can't figure out what it is. Okay, it's... Alright, the high-pitched noise is not coming from the garage. Okay, I've determined the high-pitched noise is coming from a house across the street. It's not a fire alarm. It's probably a damaged vacuum cleaner or something. Jeff, lots of air quote there. Oh yeah, democratic, yeah. Why are the nutbags allowed to get away with interfering with the democratic process? Yeah. That's how I feel. I think that anybody who's doing... All the people who are doing that stuff should be... They should have their right to vote revoked. I mean, they don't need to... I don't think that we want to send them to prison, but they do need to be, maybe they do. They're threatening to kill people. They probably do need to be removed from society. What'd be great is if all the people who are so pro for-profit prisons turned into the people that were populating those prisons. All right, well, we've got 4 minutes to go. I'm sorry for going off on a little bit of a rant there. It irks me. A lot of these political stories irk me, so I try not to talk about them too much. But you know how it goes. There's a few other things happening in the world that I'll just give you the rundown for. In China, Evergarden, a large property company is at risk of defaulting again. The way the loans are structured in China, a lot of these big companies have huge, massive debt-to-income ratios, and it's not looking good. They're facing a property crisis there. People are starving to death in the Tigray because the United States and other countries have stopped delivering foreign aid to Ethiopia. Meta doesn't do, just like in Australia, Meta was like, hey, we're not going to deliver news on Facebook. And local politicians are worried that that's how most people get their news, and so a lot of citizens don't have access to news. This is more of an argument against Facebook existing than for Facebook existing, but I don't think that anybody's been able to articulate that to the policymakers who don't understand technology very well. Japan scrambled some fighter jets after Russia and China started doing some exercises. Let's see. Japan scrambles jet amid Russia and Chinese naval patrol in the Pacific. Japan said that it scrambled fighter jets after two Russian IL-38 information gathering aircraft were spotted flying between the Sea of Japan and the East China Sea. So a little bit of tension there. What else do you need to know before the weekend happens? Ecuador's having an election. A lot of political people are getting murdered or intimidated there. And Singapore has had this big to-do last week and this week. We just haven't been able to talk about it. There's a $1 billion money laundering case and some other corruption cases going on. Check out Straits Times if you want to know more about that. And two nuclear plants are starting up, which I thought was pretty cool. First, the South African utility Eskom has announced, that's ESKOM, has announced that Unit 1 at its Coburg nuclear power plant, which was undergoing a long-term outage for maintenance and steam generator replacement, is now expected to return to service on November 3rd. Oh, we're going to run out of time. Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. I've been DJ Marcus, here with News to Me, and I'll be back on Monday.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC.
Hey, one of vaults. Welcome, welcome. In chat. Dubious Goals time. It's Dubious Goals time with Tobe and Pippa the Cat.